tonight's passage comes from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 23 through 36. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let the trees of the forest sing. Let them sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said amen and praise the Lord. This is the awesome word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. One more time, God, we need you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Many times in the scriptures, we read the response of God's people. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And when I wanted to use that scripture tonight, there are a whole bunch of places that we could have taken it from. It's in four or five different psalms, and it's in other places in the scripture. But here in 1 Chronicles 16 is my favorite place to find this verse. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. The background of this passage is that David has fully become king of Israel. He's king in Hebron, king of Judah for 7 years, and then finally king of Judah. And the king of Tyre sends over workmen and all sorts of beautiful building materials to build him a palace. And he knows at this point that it's time to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. The Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant back when Saul was king, and it wound up after various places, and the Philistines sent it back because they didn't want anything to do with the glory of God that was overwhelming them, because that's where God's presence was, in the Ark of the Covenant. And so it was at the house of Obed-Edom. And David knew that it was time to bring it back. And he tried to bring it back once on an ox cart, not carrying it the way God had prescribed the ark be carried, and it was a disaster. So now he's ready to do it again the right way. And so he has a special tent made for it. The priests come carrying it on the poles like they're supposed to. And the priests are worshiping and singing and blowing trumpets and praising God. And David is dancing with all his heart in front of the ark of the Lord, knowing that the ark of the Lord is coming back to the place where it belongs, in the midst of his people. And so they put it in a special tent that David had made for it, because, you know, it was David's desire, the desire of his heart, to build a house for God. He thought, who am I that I have this splendid house to live in, and the Lord Almighty dwells in a tent? And yet God told him that that was not his job, that that job was for his son after him, Solomon. So David sets up this tent to keep the Ark of the Covenant in. And then he blesses the people. He gives them food to eat. I think David must have been a Presbyterian. And then Then he gives this I don't know, sermon, combination prayer, whatever it is, he tells it to his people. And Tom read a portion of it for you, the call to worship, and Doug just read another portion of it. But I love it. Even though we're looking for the phrase tonight, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, his steadfast love endures forever. This passage, I think, just shows the response of God's people to the fact that he is good and his love endures forever. And David commands the people to praise the Lord in the splendor of his holiness, to always seek the Lord. And then after he gives them this beautiful encouragement, after the goodness of God prompts them to respond with their lives, all the people then say amen, and they praise the Lord. We want that to be our response to God's goodness, to God's holiness, to God's blessing for us. When we think of this phrase, I think we kind of hear it like this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. We kind of accent the beginning part of that and the ending part of that, because we want to give thanks to God. And one of the things we give thanks to him for is that his steadfast love endures forever. And yet that phrase in the middle is the heart of the whole matter: for he is good. And I find in my life, and I'm betting the same thing is true for you, that sometimes the most basic things, the things that we learned first, are the things that we need to come back to again and again. It's not always that we're hearing a new word. It's that we need to be reminded of the steadfast word that we first heard. That's why so often we need to go back to one of the very first truths that we've ever learned, and that's that Jesus loves us. We need to be reminded again and again, because even though we know Jesus loves us, sometimes in the midst of living life in a chaotic world, we forget that. And I think that's so important for us as well with God's goodness. You know, I still remember being a young girl and saying grace, right? God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for this food. Amen. It's a truth I learned as a little girl, that God is good. And yet again and again and again, I need to go back and have that truth repressed into my life. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And sometimes I think good is a difficult word for us to understand in relationship to God. Because God really is the only one who is good. Jesus reminds us of that when the rich young ruler comes up and calls him good teacher, which is actually a phrase that we don't find in the scriptures. Good teacher. And Jesus reminds him that God alone is good, and at that same time claiming himself to be God. God alone is good. We think of what the word good means. You know, beneficial. Perfect, if you will. Good. So hard for us to get a picture of that. Sometimes we look at one another and we call each other good. And sometimes in society and oftentimes in the church, we pick somebody who we think is good, who lives a good life, who has good character, if you will, and we put them up on this pedestal, forgetting that none of us is good. Forgetting that no matter how much it looks like we have our lives together, every one of us has struggles, some more obvious than others. And so when someone we've marked as good then somehow lets some of their humanness, their fallenness show, we not only throw them off the pedestal, but we just write them off as though they're totally useless. That's why it's so important for us not to look for good in humankind. When we want to see good, we look at God, because he is good. He's unchanging good. He's not good because of something outside of him. He in himself is good. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, God, you are good and you do good. Everything about God is good. That's his very character, is goodness. And that's hard for us to understand sometimes, because we look at our own lives and the lives of the people around us and we try to define what good is. God is good. He is good and his love endures forever. He is good and he does good. Everything he does is good. At creation, he said, it is good, it is good, it is good. And when he was all finished, he said, it is very good. The psalmist tells us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are those who take refuge in him. James tells us that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. God is good, and he does good. And we need to remind ourselves of that. We need to announce that. Sometimes I think we forget that God is good. We get distracted from thinking God is good because we look around at this broken world that we live in. I knew someone years ago who said that she could never believe in God, at least never believe in a good God, because of the Holocaust. And we can point back to a lot of things in human history, even in our own histories, that are not good, full of suffering and brokenness and pain. And so people start asking the question, if God is good, where is he? And why do all these horrible things happen? Now, people way smarter than me, and with way deeper spirituality than me, have wrestled out that question. And I'm not going to begin to stand here today and explain to you why bad things happen, other than the fact that we live in a broken world. And sin is behind all brokenness. Not necessarily your individual sin, but living in a fallen world of sin, it's why we have brokenness. It's why we have disease. It's why we have poverty. It's why relationships end. It's why we see tragedy. It's why humankind does atrocities to each other, because of the brokenness of our world and because of sin. We don't know why sometimes God allows things to continue. We don't know sometimes why one person is healed and one person is not. We don't know sometimes why it seems like one person has everything go right, although if we look close, we'll find out that's not true, and one person has everything go wrong. And if we look close, we'll find that's not true either, but that's what it looks like on the surface. And somehow we start to wonder, why, and what is God doing? And those are heavy and they're deep questions, and we should not just pretend we're not feeling them. It's okay to ask those deep questions of God. But we need to remember at the same time, when we go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and the serpent is talking to Eve, trying to get her to eat that apple. And though he doesn't say the words, he's insinuating all through that, that God might not be good. That God might have some special thing, and he's holding out on Adam and Eve. He's robbing them of something. And Satan used that lie from the very beginning, trying to convince Adam and Eve that God was not good. And I believe that's still one of the greatest tools that he has, that he uses us against us now, is to tempt us to believe that God is not good. And so again and again, we read in the scriptures, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. He is good, and he does good. God cannot do anything that is not good. And we're reminded that God can even take those broken and hard and terrible places in our world, and he can even somehow, that we will not understand this side of the veil, and he can use them for our good, and he can use them for his glory when we love him, when we're called according to his purpose. God is good, always good, and what he does is good. I was talking to a friend of mine who is in the middle of middle age and all of a sudden needs her glasses all the time if she wants to read anything. Some of you may be able to relate to that. And she was telling me that one day this week she got all the way to work and she realized that she didn't have her glasses and she had to go back home and get them. And I was thinking about glasses. You know, before I lost my vision, I wore glasses or contact lenses my entire life. My vision has always been bad. And so I've always needed something to help me out. And many of us find ourselves in that same position, that our natural vision fails, and we need a lens, a pair of glasses to help us see correctly. And I think the same thing is true of our spiritual eyes. Sometimes we don't see clearly because we look at circumstances. We look with finite eyes. We try to understand what's happened in the context of this mortal life, not understanding that God is beyond all dimensions, time and space, that God is infinite, that his plan might not be for right this very second, but he might be working a plan in us that is eternal. And so just like our physical eyes sometimes need a pair of glasses with corrective lenses in them to see better, I think our spiritual eyes need a pair of lenses of God's goodness. We need to put on, if you will, to see the world through the lens of the fact that God is good. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He's good. And what he does is good. And even what's not good, he works together for good. We need to have our vision changed. We need to have our perception changed. Because the world we live in and the busyness of life and the lies of the enemy would long us to believe somehow that God is not good or he is not fair. And that's not who God is. And when we start thinking God's not good, even if we don't consciously think it, but it's dwelling in our heart and affecting the way we live, it messes us up. Because we're basing the whole way we look at the world on a lie, on an untruth. And God longs for us to know this truth, that he is good. He is good. He is good. And his love endures forever. As I've been thinking about God's goodness this week, something just hit me like this. You know, when we love God, when we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Lord, we are sealed with his Holy Spirit. And as his Holy Spirit has his way in our lives, he produces fruit. And we know some of that fruit, and we look for it in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience. But sometimes we stop there after the big ones, and we forget that it goes on, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And I'm reminded as we spend time in God's presence, as we invite him into our lives, as his Holy Spirit has his way in us, he produces goodness in us. We who our very righteous deeds are like filthy rags in the sight of God. We who can try and try and try with every iota of strength that we have can never make ourselves good. But our good God, through his Holy Spirit, grows that fruit of goodness in us. Think about it. God is growing his very character. Every one of the fruit of the Spirit is part of God's character, who he is. And he is growing the goodness that he is in our lives, that he might be glorified through us, that we might be conformed to the image of his Son. It's not a new word. God is good. We've known it from a very young age, from our very beginning days in Jesus. And yet it's a word I think we desperately need to hear again and again. We need to remember to pick up those God is good spiritual glasses and look at the world through that perspective. When things are happening in our lives that we do not understand, we remind ourselves that God is good. When things are happening in our world that we do not understand, where we're crying out, where is God and why would he let this happen? Then we need to remind ourselves that God is good. Even when we're reading scripture and we come across passages that are harsh or that we don't understand or that seem unfair or that we wrestle with and struggle with, we remind ourselves that God is good. He cannot be any other way. And when we remember God is good, when we remember even a little tiny bit what the goodness of God looks like, then we can trust him when it doesn't make sense. We can trust him when we have more questions than we have answers. We can trust him when the enemy of our soul is beating us up, trying to convince us that God is not good, that he does not love us, that he is unfair. We talked this summer about the armor of God and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we combat those lies with the truth of who God is. And we give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And his steadfast love endures forever. We need him to change our perspective. We need him to press his goodness into us. We need him to open our eyes that we can see his goodness. And we desperately need him to grow his goodness in us. I don't know what situation you have going on in your life, maybe big, maybe small, where every circumstance would love to convince you that God's not good. Circumstance where you can't see an answer, or maybe you're tired of the battle and you're weary and you're not sure the ending is going to be the ending that you want. Or you have your long lifetime prayer that you've been praying for somebody or yourself and it doesn't seem like it's getting answered. Or you're just tired and worn out and beaten up from living in a broken world. I invite you to pray with me and let's invite God in. God, we thank you that you are good, that you cannot not be good. It's who you are. It's your very character, that everything about you is good and everything that you do is good. And God, that's so hard for us to understand sometimes because we know our own hearts and we know how often we're not good and we know how often we have mixed motives and the things that we do are not good. So God, give us your grace. Open the eyes of our heart that we might see you even a little bit for who you really are. That we wouldn't create you over in our image, but we would see you as God and God alone. That you are good, that you are righteous, that you are just, that you are kind. God, give us those spiritual glasses, that lens to look through, that you are good when everything about us would want to question that. God, you know the situations that each one of us in this room is struggling with. Maybe a small annoyance, maybe a big, huge problem. God, you know the places where we've been waiting and waiting and waiting for you to move, and we're not sure that you're going to. God, you know the places where our faith is run out, where we've just given up that you're going to answer us. God, you know the places in our life that it just seems so overwhelming. We can't imagine that you have a solution for us. God, give us that perspective, that reminder that you are good. And we can trust you in those hard and those dark and those scary places. We are so thankful that you are not tossed about on the waves like we are, but you are steadfast and immovable. that you are good in the very beginning, that you are good today, that you will be good through all eternity. And not only that, but that you will work all things, even the hard places, even the questions, even the doubts, even the fears. You will work all things together for our good, for your glory, because we love you and because we're called by you. Thank you, God. You're good. Just remind us again and again and again of your goodness. God, as we read your word, we pray that your goodness would jump out at us, that it would be a reality we could not deny. And Lord, we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. God, we know that when you grow fruit in us, that means that sometimes you have to work the ground hard, and lots of times you have to pull out weeds. And sometimes that's uncomfortable, and sometimes that hurts. But God, we would love for your Spirit to have his way in our lives. God, we would love you to grow your fruit of goodness in us, a concept we cannot even begin to be on our own. God, we would love for you to grow your goodness in us, that we might reflect your character and your glory to a broken world. We thank you and we praise you and we give thanks to you because you are good. In Jesus' name.